My gosh, Stu, was this your show of shows?
You know, top three of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
What was it that made this Monday show spectacular?
Well, it was better than our fourth best show ever, but right. Not as good as our
was
second
best
show. Was
it the naked show? Models that were on?
Yes, and you look great, by the way.
Thank you. No, I'm trying to get people.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yes.
We brought nowhere near a camera.
We brought Sydney Sweeney directly from her SNL shoot right here.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. And the dude from his Sports Illustrated. It's a beautiful woman.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful manly woman.
Anyway, we have a lot we cover on today's program. You don't want to miss it. And it begins in 60 seconds. The day may come when you and your family have to defend yourself, and it may come that you need lethal force. That happens. It's your right as an American to defend yourself, and if you feel threatened, life-threatened, you have a right to defend yourself in a lethal way. I'm one of the most pro-Second Amendment people you'll meet. That being said, not every emergency situation you're going to come across necessarily calls for killing someone. That's my biggest fear. You pull a gun, you better be able to kill. And if you're wrong, you're in real trouble. You're in real trouble. For those situations, there's a Byrna launcher. Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna launcher. It looks just like a gun, but it is less than lethal. It's what the cops are, they're starting to replace all of their tasers with Byrna launchers because they're just much better. You can be within 60 feet and incapacitate somebody for 40 minutes. That's enough time to get your family to safety. Byrna, BYRNA.com/Glenn. Byrna.com/Glenn.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The whistleblowers are so critical right now, and whistleblowers are being suspended. The whistleblower for Catherine Herridge, which is crazy. In case you don't know who she is a national security reporter. She's reported for, I think, ABC. She was on CBS, maybe NBC. She was on Fox. She's a very big deal. She was arrested and held in contempt because she won't reveal her sources. What were her sources? What did they whistleblow on? They whistleblowed on the Chinese in bed with our universities and the government. Why does the government need to know who that whistleblower is? It's like they're trying to find the rat. So CBS fired her and then took all of her confidential files. She later got them back. We don't know if they broke her codes or what. I'm sure they could have easily. But now they're demanding that she reveals her source. No. No, 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 no. They're going after all of these whistleblowers, and the FBI is no different. In fact, there's a group called the Suspendables. Have you heard that? The Suspendables. These are people that are very, very qualified and very patriotic and have said, we're violating the Constitution like crazy here, and I won't do it. And they've been blowing the whistle. Steve Friend is now an opinion writer, author, former state and federal law enforcement officer, more than a decade of experience. He worked as first a patrolman, then narcotics agent in Georgia. Then he joined the FBI. He's one of these, you know, Boy Scout guys. Then he blew the whistle. And we have him on the phone with us now. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. You were on with me on Friday. I did a special broadcast on Friday after Steve went to jail. Our reporter here that was arrested unbelievably for doing his job. And How do you think, Steve, the FBI agents felt doing that? Steve said they were very, very polite, but they were the ones here.
You know, I'm very disturbed by the fact that this is not just a problem at the very tippy top of the pyramid. It is a problem down all the way to the very bottom level. And there's an institutional problem in the FBI because they can make your responsibility so granular and so small. And a lot of people are just unwilling or unable to take a step back and look at the full mosaic of what they are part of, and they just follow orders. But it's very important to note that all FBI employees go to the Holocaust Memorial Museum and the MLK Memorial Museum as part of training. And you learn there about the banality of evil, and you learn that it's incumbent on you, it's actually your job to throw the flag if you think we're off the rail.
So then why are they going after these guys if that's part of the training?
Well, I think it's a pretty sweet gig to be in the FBI. They definitely make that no secret about that fact. You know, you have the opportunity in the FBI. Once you are 5 years in, if you're an agent, you have 26 paid days off a year, 13 sick days, 11 federal holidays, 3 paid hours a week to work on your mental wellness, 3 paid hours a week to work on your physical fitness, and you're making about $135,000 a year. And that is presented to you almost immediately. When I came forward with my concerns about what I saw, I was told, look, you know, Steve, you're risking your entire career. And that was put to me, I was put for a decision for all my chips within 30 to 45 seconds of expressing my first concerns. And to me and to other suspendables, we're system idealists. We're not system disruptors. We joined the FBI to follow the Constitution, follow the law. The system disruptors are the criminals. But we all saw what's going on with the Bureau right now, and they are, in fact, the system disruptors who are departing from their prime directive, which should be to protect the American people from risk of fraud and force.
Tell me about Garrett O'Boyle.
Garrett O'Boyle is a good personal friend of mine. He and I testified last May in front of the Weaponization Committee. He's an indefinitely suspended, unpaid FBI agent right now. He came forward with protected whistleblower disclosures, and the FBI facilitated his transfer from Kansas to Virginia and then intercepted him mid-transfer, took possession of his household goods, left him without pay, left him homeless in the middle of the winter when he couldn't have clothing for his children, 4 small girls. And they did that as retaliation for him coming to Congress with his concerns about what he was seeing about a risk to parents at school board meetings. And as a result of that, he's continued to fight. He's been unpaid for over a year and a half now. And that's why when we leaned into this title of the suspendables, Garrett just started making lapel pins and T-shirts. And he's using that as basically a form of income to support his family.
I find this incredible. Tell me about how they just took his, they moved him, transferred him, and then took all of his stuff.
And another whistleblower has come forward with more details about this. The allegation was made that he went to the media with his concerns. He did not. We actually have a signed affidavit from the individual who did go to the media with those concerns. Garrett went to Congress, as is his right to do as an employee under 5 U.S.C. 2303. Did it the right way, just like a suspendable, the right way at the right time for the right reasons. And the FBI found out about it, made the allegation, and then also facilitated his transfer, even though he was, quote unquote, under investigation, which is outside of policy. And because he was transferring, he'd sold his house. He arrived on day one. They took his gun and his badge and his credentials. And as a result of that, he couldn't close on a new house. So he was left homeless, and his household goods were being transferred. He had to pay somewhere in the area of between $30,000 and $40,000 to get his own possessions back from the FBI.
Jeez. And they knew this before they transferred him. I mean, they should have, if they were going to fire him where he was.
They not only knew, Glenn, they allowed him to go to training where he was getting classified material. And if you were under investigation, having your security clearance reviewed, you would think that the FBI would not allow you to have access to that information. But they did. And this other whistleblower has come forward, and in some pretty colorful language, it was expressed over at the Human Resources Division, the security office for the FBI. They said that they were going to F him over, and that was the intent. And that individual who uttered that has since moved on and worked for BDO Seidman.
So he has been now, this is 18 months later, he's still not being paid because they said that he went to the media, which you say he didn't, and you have a sworn affidavit of somebody who did. What happened to that guy that did go to the media?
This individual is one of the anonymous members of our suspendables. And the allegation was that Garrett had gone to Project Veritas. And that's just not the case. The same information was presented because this is information that a lot of us saw across the board. It was directives issued from Carlton Peoples within the FBI to use counterterrorism resources to surveil and conduct assessments and investigations of parents at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. And Carlton Peoples was elevated after doing that, and he now runs the FBI Birmingham office.
So I just wanted people to know about Garrett, because I remember reading this story about 18 months ago and thinking, this is insane what's happening. Is anybody really fighting this? Who is standing up to the FBI on his behalf and on, you know, all of your guys' behalf?
Well, Garrett has some legal representation, but the process for him is just long and slow. The allegations of retaliation are going to take years to adjudicate, but he's committed to that because he wants to do things the right way. All of us have sort of formed this coalition of individuals. We call ourselves the Suspendables. It was on a lark. We're kind of like the Expendables. We had a unique set of skills, but we're all suspended FBI agents. And we've just continued to try to reach everywhere we can. We're sort of in an era right now of not broadcasting, but narrowcasting. There's just so many audiences out there who don't know stories like Garrett's and the information that we all brought forward. So we've reached out to audiences like yours, Glenn, and thank you so much for helping us on this. And Garrett and I have a podcast, American Radicals podcast, where we talk about this. Garrett writes a Substack called Last Line, which is sort of a reference to being the last line of for law enforcement. And we just keep trying to hammer the message about government weaponization, because none of us got into this for personal enrichment or acclaim. We just wanted to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. And as a result of that, we've all sort of suffered consequences, none worse than Garrett, who's a man of honor.
Must have been quite shocking to you when you first blew the whistle. You had to have believed that, you know, when the rank and file, when everybody figures out what's going on, they'll stand up. And it must be quite disappointing to see no.
It's incredibly disheartening. You know, I told you one of the times before we talked that I had sort of expected a Captain America endgame moment where I would hear on my left and look over and see 14,000 agents, 38,000 employees stepping forward and actually truly honoring their oath of office. But too many of them are content to just follow orders. And it was very specifically told to me when I came forward. I said, Steve, your job, your duty is to do your duty to the FBI, not respect the Constitution. And I think too many people have bought into that and say and justify what they're doing. And then they also have obligations. They say, I have a mortgage, alimony, I got to feed my kids. And my response to them is that's insufficient. You took a position of public trust. You swore an oath. And I would rather have hungry children than morally bankrupt ones. It's our job to raise a standard, very much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take an oath at my job. The 7-Eleven guy doesn't take an oath at his job. You take an oath. Does that not mean anything to people? Apparently not. I want you to go to thesuspendables.com. thesuspendables.com. This is the way Garrett O'Boyle
the
is.
The Dash Suspendables. You get a hockey website otherwise, Glenn.
Okay. The Dash Suspendables.com. The Dash Suspendables.com. And get your pen or your t-shirt and support these guys who are whistleblowers, especially Garrett and his family. He has four small girls. He's had to completely start over. Not easy. The-suspendables.com. Thank you so much. Thanks, brother.
God bless. Glenn.
You bet. Bye-bye. Back to the podcast in a second. First, let me talk to you about my Patriot Supply. You and your family have a future to protect. That means taking the steps now to make sure you're prepared for whatever situation might come your way. Stu and I were just talking about being prepared, and neither of us are really prepared. Have you even started yet? My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for whatever might come their way, and many of them start with a four-week emergency food kit. There are 16 food and drink varieties. The meals contain 2,000 calories a day, so they're going to get you through any situation. And they're sealed in incredibly durable packaging. They may last up to 25 years, or they will, 25 years of storage. And they're really good. It's My Patriot Supply. Get each four-week food kit for $60 off right now. Get free shipping, so protect yourself, protect your family, and start preparing now. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Now back to the podcast. This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Steve Baker is with us. He's the investigative journalist for The Blaze. He's a Blaze media correspondent. He is in today with his attorney because on Friday he was arrested by the FBI. If you happen to miss that podcast, it's kind of a don't miss. It's Friday's podcast. James Lee Bright is his attorney, and he is with us now. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back, Glenn.
So I heard you say the very first thing out, asked how do you feel, yeah. And you said humiliated.
Right.
Why?
I thought I was mentally and emotionally prepared for this because I've followed too many of these cases to not have been. I've seen too many of these guys, even misdemeanor defendants, even misdemeanor independent journalists, marched before a magistrate in leg chains and the orange jumpsuit. So I thought I was ready for it until they put the leg chains on. And I've never even been fingerprinted for anything in my life. And to actually, in the moment that it was happening, it was overwhelming. And then on top of being chained at your waist and your legs, then they put you in a cage with a meth dealer. And of course Lee can speak to this better than I can, but the process of putting a nonviolent misdemeanor defendant who has been utterly and totally cooperative since the very first phone call from the FBI over 2.5 years ago. It could have been just an order to appear. I could have walked in with Lee, both of us with our jackets and ties on. We could have sat in the gallery. They call us up. We stand before, just as they did for a felony defendant that day. But I'm guarded by U.S. Marshals with leg chains on.
So how many misdemeanors, Lee, have you done where they're in leg chains? How many times do you see that?
In a case like this, almost never. I've got clients right now that are charged with felony drug cases that we are negotiating with the DOJ for voluntary turn-ins. There's an active warrant on one that I was speaking with this morning, and the DOJ is working with us to do a voluntary turn-in to a magistrate. We'll do a same-day hearing. She'll process through pretrial services and be out. No leg chains, nothing. This was determined by the DOJ in Washington. They had us turn Steve into the FBI at their headquarters, 7 a.m., walked him through, processed him, put him in leg chains and a waist chain, handcuffs to his waist, and then took him directly to the marshals down at the Cabell Building here in Dallas.
Yeah, no, I don't remember anybody in leg chains and irons for BLM setting cities on fire.
No, in fact, most of those were just catch and release if they bothered to catch at all. In fact, most of them had their cases dismissed, and then many of them have been awarded cash payouts from the government because they were, you know, unfairly arrested or prosecuted, because obviously we had to understand what their frustrations and what, you know, made them burn a building down.
So I was really encouraged by the op-ed that came out from Jonathan Turley.
Yeah.
This weekend. He makes the point that you might be a activist journalism or a journalist activist, you know, whatever this new thing is that they're doing,
right,
because you have an opinion. And Stu and I were talking about it earlier this morning. Yes, you have an opinion. I have an opinion, but that doesn't mean that you are finding the story you want to find. You could still have an opinion on things, mm-hmm. but as long as you're honest enough to say, I'm going in and I don't know what's going to happen. I have an idea what could happen, but I'm going to tell the truth no matter which side it falls on. Is that who you are?
Well, see, that's the thing that obviously not only the charging documents themselves, because the charging documents are what they call the statement of facts. They are, in fact, specifically put together for the purpose of constructing a narrative
okay.
for prosecution, out of context comments. More importantly, and this is the key, Glenn. Look, I'll tell you what. Let me let a NBC, the court reporter, the guy who does every one of the cases, J6 cases for NBC, he's there every day. Mm-hmm. His name's Ryan Riley. And he tweeted out yesterday, he said, if it wasn't for Steve's language on January 6th before he entered the Capitol, and then after that evening, this case almost certainly wouldn't have been brought.
Okay, so that's interesting here in America. Let me go through the actual charges, and let's take them one by one.
Absolutely.
Can we do that? So
of course.
Here are the charges.
You want me to read them?
Yes, please.
Okay, so these are the charges listed in the criminal complaint. That's not the formal filing of of the charge. That'd be either an information and misdemeanors or an indictment on felonies. But this is the criminal complaint that issued the arrest warrant with the supporting affidavit and statement of facts contained. And Steve's right. It is written with the intent to create a language narrative. There's no question. So of the four charges that Steve's been charged with, 18 U.S.C. 752A1, that's knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority. That's the one that carries up to a 1 year in jail penalty, minimum of 6 months. 18 U.S.C. 1752A2, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or ground. 40 U.S.C. 5104E2D, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. And then 40 U.S.C. 5104E2G, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building.
Okay, so I'm sure you know this now. I don't know when you found out, but the Speaker of the House released 5,000 hours mm-hmm. of videotape, much of it centering around you, and showing that you weren't parading or picketing or being disorderly at all.
Ever.
Ever.
No, not at all.
So how do they make that charge?
That's going to be fascinating to see.
I don't want to get into being the legal expert or even trying. I mean, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night,
right.
But the point being is that they always, because I followed so many of these trials, they always overcharge, but mm-hmm. that's not just J6. That's DOJ.
Always.
And that's to scare you into a quick plea deal.
Correct.
They get their, their notch in their belt and their points towards whatever their next, career advancement goals are. And that's essentially what's happening here. Technically, yes, I went in the building. Okay. So if that is a crime, then it is a crime. But
if
charges,
that's a hang on. If that's a crime, then the crime has to be punished equally. So the New York Times, the Washington Post, every single journalist would have to be charged with that crime, right?
Well, I mean, I think Steve and I were talking earlier, and I think we've estimated that roughly 60 journalists went into the rotunda, went into the Capitol building on that day. 6 to 7 have been charged now out of 60, rough. All of those have been right of center media. All of them.
So you are being made, let's see if I can find it, from NBC. You're made into a total clown by NBC.
The same guy whose right. tweet I just read, by
correct.
The way.
He says that you are just you're in a cover band. You weren't a journalist at the time. I don't know who defines journalists now.
He refused to call me a journalist. Instead, he said, now I'm a writer for the Blaze website. That was his only way of getting around having to acquiesce to
correct.
What I was doing that day.
I apologize.
No.
I got to know Ryan a little bit when we were in trial. back in the fall of 22 for 3 months for the Oath Keepers trial.
Yeah.
I always found him to be a really reasonable fella. I like some of his work, but I agree. The article that he wrote regarding Steve,
it's a hatchet job.
It was, and it was petty. It was completely unnecessary. I thought it was really poor reporting, and it was done not unlike the complaint, not unlike what we see when we're talking language. It was done to establish a narrative solely to disparage Steve.
So how do you, first of all, how do you combat the journalist thing? With him going in, that's a six-month sentence.
Could be.
And he has said, well, yes, technically I did. I did violate that. So how do you defend that?
Well, number one, I'm not the only attorney on this case. Okay. We've got about five of us that are volunteering on this. And we're volunteering because we got to know Steve during trials in D.C. Great reporting. Always loved spending time with him. He was one of the few conservatives in the press pool there. One of the other attorneys. That
no,
we're
he's a musician, NBC News, a musician and libertarian writer who was a frequent presence at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. during the Oath Keepers seditious conspiracy trial. What were you doing just hanging out there all the time?
Well, the worst thing that I was doing is I was about half of my reporting was on the press pool. They didn't like that. Because I always sat in the back of the room so I could watch them and see what was on what they were doing, see what was on their screen, see which games they were playing during the important testimonies, to see who was pre-writing their stories and then just hanging out in the hallway talking, because that's what they do, and they're really good at it. They can pre-write two or three stories in a day, and then as soon as the rulings or the motions are filed, they can then fill in the blanks and boom, submit, you know, and they get out. And then more importantly, I was able to show on certain very significant testimonies how the comparison of how the various journalists withheld information, because see, we all know it's not that they lie, it's the lie of omission. Mm-hmm. It's when you're only covering the government's case in chief and their witnesses, and then all of a sudden they get out and go for coffee break during the cross-examination. How can you tell the truth about what happened in the trial?
You're listening to the best of Glenn Beck. Check out the full show podcast to listen to the rest of this interview.
Okay, really excited to have somebody who I hope to have on from time to time. She's in our building now and with a new network. Her name is Karina Yapur, and she is the executive producer and host of Vos News, right?
Correct. Right.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am not. I barely can speak English. So, and Vos means vote, right?
No.
Or, no, voice.
Voice.
That's right.
Yes.
Voice.
Yes. It means voice.
So, this is a new Spanish language television network. The problem that we all know is Telemundo is, I think, there's that Univision is NBC. One of them is NBC. Hispanics are getting, they have no choice to but to be indoctrinated when they're watching Spanish television. And Karina is the news anchor on something that begins tonight. So tell us about it.
Yes, so excited. And thank you for having me here. It's an honor to be here with you guys.
Thank you.
And you said it perfectly. Unfortunately, for decades, the Hispanic community has been getting their news for this two major networks, Telemundo, owned by NBC, and Univision. And unfortunately, in the recent years, these two networks have walked away of representing the Hispanic values. And some people thinks or maybe wondering, why do we see the same headlines all over the place? I have worked for both. I worked almost 7.5 years for Telemundo, and then almost 8 years for Univision as well. So I know this firsthand. And the thing is that, for example, Univision, when they don't cover the news directly, they work with a platform called CNN Newsers, which means that they get all the videos, press releases that they don't cover directly from CNN. So that's why you see the same headlines that and the same rhetoric that CNN uses. And that's a problem. And to me, honestly, as a Christian woman, as an immigrant, as a Hispanic woman, it was hard for me to see that. And I always wanted to be a light in the darkness for the my community. And I tried to make the difference. And that's why we are launching Voz News tonight, because we really need to provide the Hispanic community a non-biased perspective, conservative perspective of the news, so they can really understand what's going on and they can really make better decisions for their lives and for their families.
You know, Soros, George Soros, just bought a radio group that has some of the biggest Spanish-speaking nations,
yes.
Spanish-speaking stations yes. in the nation. You're getting the George Soros look at things if that firewall isn't dirt strong. That's not going to help. The left has made a move for the Hispanic viewpoint. Is this the first time anybody's made a real conservative effort, a real effort?
It is. And you know what? We're going to be the only nationwide newscast in Spanish with a conservative perspective. And, you know, that's unbelievable because in the English-speaking world, there are several options, and you guys are here to fill up those gaps, you know, yeah. providing non-biased information for your listeners and your audience. But the Hispanics didn't have that. And we have to recognize that some of them work one or two jobs or even three to be able to provide for their families. They don't have the time to do their own research.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they watch these TV networks because they like novelas, like the series, Hispanic series, because they feel attached to their culture and all of that. And they just listen the rhetoric that they use in the news. And I remember one example on the last presidential election when they were saying, the headline was that Republicans were pushing against voting rights for minorities. And I remember myself reading this press release that our producers provide us. And I was, I mean, reading along, and I couldn't find anything that was trying to, you know, to restrict voting rights.
Right.
I mean, and I have to tell you, it is even harder to vote in Mexico. In Mexico, you only got one day to vote. There's no early voting, nothing like that. And there's only one kind of ID, the voter ID that you need to use to be able to vote. So when I was reading this, I was like, what are they talking about? You know, here we have a primary election. We have an anticipated election. We have several options of IDs that we can present. So all of that, I mean, to me, looked pretty reasonable. And I couldn't find something that was really the headline that they were presented. But again, it was taken from CNN. And unfortunately, it's what Hispanics were receiving. And nobody want to be unliked or not wanted or the rights to be taken away.
So Hispanics are very pro-family, very pro-God.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are the, you know, in the old days, you know, when my wife's family came over from Italy. It was in New York, and it was the full talk with your hands Italians. And, you know, there were some bad guys, but there were a lot of just great families that culture has just melted into ours. But
absolutely.
They restored us. Many of these immigrants always restore us because you've been someplace else and you know what it's like elsewhere.
Exactly, Glenn. And I have to tell you, I mean, we love God. We love our family. Those are the two main cores of the Latino culture and the Hispanic values. There's nothing more important than those two things for us. And you know what? There are more than 36.2 million Hispanics eligible to vote this year. And Hispanics are, you know, are having families. We like big families.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very important that they really understand what's going on in politics and they can make informed decisions.
So how are you going to, where do people find you? How are you going to let everybody know in the Hispanic community?
Absolutely. So we're launching Voz News, which means voice, tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, through Daystar Español. We are very, very blessed that we are partnering with Daystar because, of course, this is a huge Christian network. And I have to tell you, they launched the Español Spanish channel a year ago, and they are reaching 14 million Hispanic households in the United States. And they even reach a total of 90 million households, counting the U.S., Mexico, and Latin America. So I think that's important. And another very important topic is the illegal immigration, for example. So we want to really inform for people who will be watching in South America, Central America, we want to tell them the truth. Because unfortunately, they are being told that they can get here illegally, get everything from free for free, and all of that. And that's not the reality. We want, I mean, people need to know. We have correspondents interviewing them, walking with them and interviewing them. And there's people organizing these caravans of illegal immigration. I mean, that doesn't happen all of a sudden. So we need to provide facts. And it's important for them to know and realize that that's not the truth, that they need to stay there, that they need to follow a legal process. Because honestly, illegal immigration is impacting Hispanics as much as it's impacting anybody else.
So I've done this for a very long time, and I have seen my share of death threats and everything that goes along with it. You being Hispanic, speaking Spanish, having it going through South America, Central America, Mexico, and here in America, you're messing with some very powerful people.
Absolutely.
You're aware of that. And how are you going to deal with that?
Well, I am. And I have to tell you that the Lord is my strength. And I am so grateful because this is a calling. I'm so grateful. Orlando Salazar, he is our CEO. He's he's in the cattle business. He doesn't have any need of getting involved in media, but he got a call from the Lord and he was obedient. And that's how I met him. And to me, it was a prayer answer because, as I told you, I wanted to be a light in the darkness that we're living in this world, not only here in the United States, but in the world. I know the blessing of being able to be in this country. I have to tell you, I love the United States of America. I was born in Mexico and it took me 19 years. I just became a U.S. citizen after 19 years of following different legal processes. My children were born here, and I just feel I can see the difference in the opportunities, in the safety. Of course, no country is perfect, but America, to me, is the best country in the world. And I feel so bad that people here don't realize that because they haven't experienced what we have experienced in Mexico and other countries.
I know. So tell me how Hispanics here in America that have come here the right way, how do they view the border situation?
Well, they don't like that because, of course, that is making their legal processes taking longer. There's, Hispanics that have came here following a legal process, and probably they are requesting now their parents to live with them in the legal way, and they have to pay, they have to wait. And unfortunately, or people that real have an asylum, a real threat, and now they are being left behind because all this illegal immigration and people claiming asylum when they don't really have a case.
I would think that one of the things that you would come for, because this is why business came to America, is we had laws and they were equally applied. Yes. And we've become this lawless nation on so many fronts. And I would imagine people who have lived this before can see this and go, what are you doing?
Absolutely. So, Glenn, for example, a lot of people left their countries because of the violence. So now seeing that there's you know, violent people crossing the border, doing what we saw they're doing in New York, for example, beating police officers and then walking away. No one wants that, not even the Hispanics. We don't want the bad people. We want the good people to be here regardless of their ethnicity or race. And, you know, we, most Hispanics are very, very hard workers, family oriented. We have helped building this country as well. We contribute, I mean, the majority of us. So we don't want this country to be messed up, because this is a country that it's been a hope for us and for the rest of the world. And we want to preserve that.
So what time do you, it's 7 o'clock Eastern
7 o'clock Eastern time on Daystar Español. Daystar Spanish is nationwide. And 6 p.m. Central. And also, you can find us on our social media platforms at Voz Media USA. We have all our content available in Spanish and English.
And if you're a honky like me, it's VOZ.US, VOZ.US. If you know anybody who speaks Spanish, if you know anybody that has been saying, when are we going to reach out to the Hispanics? It's happening now. And anything that we can do to support you, are in with you. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you in the building.
It's an honor to be here with you guys.
Thank you so
much.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
VOZ.US begins tonight.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.